Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, was it as impressive going back to watch the film as it was to watch it on Friday night, the 48-13 win against Hannibal?
I mean, I thought we played really well. I mean, obviously points of emphasis would be the 12 penalties. That was disappointing. We lacked some discipline, particularly, you know, with the silly jumping off sides penalties. But overall, I thought we played well. You know, our younger guys up front, I thought we played well on the defensive and offensive line, and that's probably what I was most pleased with, you know, because that was our biggest question mark. And to be able to, you know, come out and play as well as they did, I was super happy with that.
Now this week you start C-Mac play against Hickman, you know, always a good rival.
It is, you know, and they've undergone some changes. You know, Cedric now is calling the offense. He'd been calling the defense for years, and he hired a defensive coordinator from Hallsville, so they've changed their defensive structure. They were running that 3-3-5 look last year, and now they're back to a 4-3 look, which they ran several years ago. And offensively, they're still doing a lot of the same things offensively, super athletic quarterback, you know, although there's a few things, but different, but it's still the same athletic Hickman team. Great quarterback, really big physical tight end. You know, they certainly have our attention with their speed and athleticism.
You know, looking back, they lost to North Kansas City by 28-26. But the offense looks like it goes through the quarterback, Carter Holliday.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And he's a very capable passer, too. But he's most dangerous when he gets the ball out on the edge. And, you know, that obviously we've got to do a great job with our ends and our edge defense, not let that happen.
Tonight, the 25th anniversary of the 1998 State championship team would be, they'll be honored here. What do you remember about that team?
Well, I mean, obviously for me it was so personal with my dad's last year, and you know, he told me before the, you know, the season started this was going to be it, and you know, I was hopeful for a really good season for him, and you know, then we lost our first two, and I'm thinking, oh man, this is not good, this is not going to end well. And then we struggled with a really close win in weeks three and weeks four, and not really knowing. And then things just clicked. I think one of the biggest things we did was make a few alignment and position changes, particularly Matt Smith moving in from tight end to fullback. And we were running a wishbone offense, you know, and to have a big, physical, good running fullback. And then really we just started clicking from that point forward. And it was just a magical run. And I think we're going to have about 60 or 70. And not all teams, but, you know, family members and friends come back, and we'll have a barbecue. So looking forward to seeing those guys again.
All right, thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Elias head coach Chris Henches. Tom, I think we knew that, you know, last week's game was going to be a good game. I don't think I saw 49-13 coming when I saw a win over Hannibal. I maybe thought a win over Hannibal. I don't know that I saw that big of one.
Yeah, people remember I might have been plotting a little bit in my picks, trying to dance around. You know, I thought if there was going to be a blowout, it may have been on the Hannibal side. But, you know, Hawaii's defense was always going to come up with something good. And, you know, they did a really good job of kind of taking Aeneas Williams out of the game for Hannibal. You know, the first three Hannibal drives ended up, you know, they turned the ball over on downs.
Right.
So I don't know if they punted later, so I guess I assume they have, you know, and he's punted later, and he punted fine. I think they were just trying to keep the ball away from Hawaii.
Okay.
So, you know, Hawaii stopped them the first time near midfield, drove, scored on the first drive of the year. That's always good. You know,
right. Score
on the first drive, you get the confidence up. You know, but then they were only up 14-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, you know, I just remember, you know, making some mental notes at halftime going, you know, they should really maybe be up 28-7. Because they played that well,
right.
But it just kind of shot themselves in the foot a few times with, you know, drop balls and a couple penalties and things. And so, you know, thought, well, if what happens in the second half, you know, Hannibal gets refired, this could be great. Well, then the next thing you know, Hawaii scores three touchdowns in about 5 minutes to start the second half, and the game was over.
Right.
And so I was surprised with the size of the final, but watching them play is what really had me impressed. I thought that was maybe as good a game against a quality opponent as I've seen them play in a few years.
And I don't want to spend too much time on it because we've got other stuff to talk about in terms of this week's game. But we did kind of bring it up in the Jays podcast talking about, you know, Panama being the Jays opponent this week. Was you almost sense that, to me, just it seemed like Aeneas' carries were low for what I would have thought going into that game. Is you think that's a concerted effort on their part, maybe early in the season, to kind of make sure they don't wear him out too much in the early going? Because it just seems like when you've got a back of that skill and you go, this guy's going to Notre Dame, you expect a guy like that to just see the ball almost every play.
On the first few series, he hardly had the ball at all, which really surprised me. And you know, God, I wish I could remember the running back's name. I apologize. You know, he carried it a lot. And he carried it well. You know, they just couldn't sustain a drive as far as they wanted to.
Right.
But, you know, to me, if I had a Notre Dame back and playing one of, you know, I think Hannibal's probably, you know, Hannibal thinks that Pelias is one of their big rivals.
Sure.
So I would think, hey, let's go. Let's throw everything we have at him. And he did not. Now, and he just ended up with, I think, somewhere a little over 20 carries, but 5 or 6 or 7 of them really came in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
And when, you know, he ended up getting over 100 yards playing against the Hawaii's twos.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not here to second guess who gets the ball.
Right.
I asked Chris about it after the game, and he just said, you know, they coach their team. I coach my team.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about my team. and so, you know, and I understood it. But, yeah, I was a little surprised Aeneas didn't have the ball more than he ended up having.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's turn our attention to this week then. You know, it's a opener of conference play already. It's, you know, it's like we get one under our belt, and now it's time to kind of refocus on your, you know, the next task at hand, which is obviously, you know, we've talked about it a number of times with Elias. They always want to try to go through the CMAC undefeated. So the first step of that starts this week. And it's a Hickman team that comes in at 0-1 after dropping its season opener. You know, they lost 28-6 to North Kansas City. So I think it's not necessarily maybe a step down, but I think this is a little bit easier game than probably last week was going into it. But it's time to get refocused, and you can't take anybody lightly.
Yeah, it was 28-26.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, sorry.
And so, you know, it was a good game. You know, Hickman was in it. It was 14-8 at halftime. Hickman scored, didn't convert on two, tied it. And North Kansas City came down, returned the next kick, and took the lead. You know, it was one of those that you know, Hickman had a chance in the fourth quarter after scoring to get a two-point conversion to tie it, didn't get it. So, you know, with Hickman, you know, Cedric Alves is, I think, a pretty good coach.
Okay.
And so, you know, he plays the hand that he's dealt there at Hickman.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, sometimes he just doesn't have the level of talent that other schools in Columbia have.
Right.
But right now, he gets a lot out of him, you know. And I think, you know, last year Hickman struggled to score against North Kansas City. This year they got some points. So I think that's something to get your attention. Like, well, now, wait a minute, maybe they can score a little bit.
Sure.
You know, and North Kansas City's two of their touchdowns, one came on a kickoff return, like I said, the other came on a fumble recovery in the first half. So the defense only allowed two scores.
Okay.
So that might get your attention a little bit as well. You know, one thing I did ask Chris about was, is he concerned? You know, they basically threw a lot of the first, you know, couple weeks of preseason, you know, at Hannibal. Now you've only got like 4 days here. Is there going to be some kind of a letdown? Not by the coaches, because the coaches know every game is important, but by the players. Like, we just smacked around Hannibal, who, you know, people thought was going to be, you know, and still could be a contender for the Class 4 title. And now we got Hickman coming to town, who we've beaten, you know, 9 times in a row.
Right.
Maybe we can kind of take this week off. And I think Chris insinuated they tried to work that attitude out of him.
Right. Yeah, that does not surprise me. I mean, that's something that obviously the coaches are going to guard against any kind of complacency. But you do mention it. It is kind of a thing where you're going to have to go back a couple classes worth of kids before you find, you know, a Elias kid that's lost to Hickman. So I think that does kind of, you know, that's just something where if you're always we always beat this team, that's something that can get in a kid's head. It's not going to get probably in the coach's head, but that's something that can maybe creep into some kids who are just like, I don't ever remember when the last time was we lost to them.
Yeah, and then you kind of look back to last year, the Pius went up to Columbia and beat them. I think it was 41-0. So they didn't have that problem last year after beating Hannibal.
Right.
So, I would imagine that you know, they're going to be focused. Winning the conference is important to Hawaii. They didn't win it last year.
Right.
And that they weren't very happy about that.
Sure.
You know, that is always a goal. That's really the first goal that they can achieve in their season is winning the CMAC. And so, you know, you don't want to stumble here in week one and put yourself behind the eight ball for the next, you know, five conference games.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, I think, and they have enough new players now, too. I think, you know, it's still they're still excited. You know, they're first-time starters on varsity level, and I think they're going to be excited enough to come out and play well.
Sure. Elias is one of those programs where they never have a problem drawing fans. It's always, you know, it's always going to be a great crowd that shows out for a home game. So it's not like you ever think, okay, you know, there's going to be maybe, you know, games where there's an ebb and a flow. And so there's always plenty of energy around the home crowd. But this may be one of those weekends where there might be just a little bit more energy from the standpoint of, you know, we're talking about a weekend in which they're going to be honoring the 1998 state champion. So I got a funny feeling that there's going to be maybe more than a few extra bodies around for something like this, where, you know, if you maybe say a Hickman team that you had a lot of success against might be one of the ones where you might not have as big a crowd. Well, this will probably fill in any sort of discrepancy there might be in the attendance numbers.
Yeah, and you know, I think the weather's going to be a lot better this week.
Sure.
It could not be any worse.
Right.
And so I think that people come out, you know, if you stayed home last week, you know, you have no reason not to come out tonight.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to – it's, you know, the 25th anniversary of the 1998 Class 4A. They were still A's back then.
Right.
State championship team. They're expecting somewhere between 25 and 30 players and their families to show up. Pre-game barbecue for everybody to get together. And then I believe at halftime they're going to introduce the players.
Okay.
You know, I talked to Chris about it. Chris was an assistant on that team.
Okay.
That was his dad, Ray. That was his last year. Going into the year, we all knew that it was going to be Ray's last year, and one important thing that he talked about was he didn't want to get to 100 career losses.
Right.
So they start out, he had 97 going into the year. They start out 0-2, and I do math, that's 99.
Right.
So there was no way, you know, it looked pretty bleak that was, you know, not going to, because they didn't play well the first two games, and it was on a bus ride coming back from Melville after losing the second game that the coaches got together and decided to make a couple just personnel switches that ended up being really, really important the rest of the year.
Okay.
To me, the biggest one was moving Matt Schmitz from basically a line to a fullback. And he's a big, strong kid who could carry the ball and was just tough as nails. And so I think that really got kind of everything going. They won the next 2 weeks. They weren't great wins, but they were wins. And after that, they just seemed to roll.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they rolled all the way to the Trans World Dome in St. Louis. Ended up beating Ozark in the title game, 37-12. And you know, Ray ended up with, I think it was 251 wins and 99 losses. Mm-hmm. And that was really kind of, I think everyone really took a lot of pride in the fact that they were not going to allow Ray to lose 100 games.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, and it's big. You know, like I say, Chris is still involved. You know, Chris, the head coach now. The only other person on that team affiliated with the program now is Phil Pitts, you know, who, you know, former head coach, now is the defensive coordinator. He was a junior lineman on that team. He was an all-state defensive lineman his junior and senior years. And so, you know, I know it's important to him. I know how much that meant to him, talking to him back in the day. And so I think for those two guys, tonight, as promised, to be pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back a little bit. You mentioned it last week. Obviously, the weather could not have been worse last week in terms of that. Things are going to be a little bit more tolerable this week. Did we see anything? I mean, did you see anything that was problematic? Did you see any problems in terms of, you know, hydration, cramping, all that sort of stuff last week? Or was it just kind of one of those things where you go, okay, this was kind of what you maybe expect from a first week, and then in terms of how did they come out of that week?
It's always a little warm, you know, the first couple of weeks, and sure, there are designated water breaks, and I think they added a couple, you know, because it was just so humid last Friday. You know, when we were joking around the press box, we set the over-under at 12.5 times we had to stop for cramps.
Right.
Which, you know, I will say that there were more than 12 cramps. We did, but those kids at least made it over the sideline, did not slow the game down.
Okay.
I would imagine things will be a little better this week. You know, it's been a lot cooler this week, and I think the kids now know a little more hydration is good. And I think the weather's going to be great. I think people should come out, you know, and you know, honor that 98 team, which you know, the second of their three state titles that they've won in program history. And I think could be a really special night.
Yeah. The other thing you always worry about is, okay, how did they come? Because, you know, the old adage is, you're never healthier than you are in week one.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they're probably not as healthy as they were going into week one. But how do things stand, and how did they get out of week one?
They, Trey Rice, a senior, a two-way starter, suffered an injury. I think it was early in the fourth quarter, making a touchdown catch. He is out likely for the remainder of the regular season. There is a chance that he could be back for districts. They optimistically think that, you know, he'll be able to make it back, but it's, you know, it'll be weeks, not days.
Yeah.
And the question is there, you know, he was starting what they call fullback. And, you know, that's an important position. That is, they kind of count on that guy to do a little bit of everything, blocking, you know, run the ball occasionally, get out in patterns, you know, because a lot of times that's the guy who's going to have mismatches,
right,
because of where he lines up. You know, and offensively, Trey did a really good job last week. And then defensively, you know, defensive end, he played well, had a handful of tackles, a couple quarterback pressures, played well. You know, he's got there's going to be big shoes to fill, and it's not going to be one guy filling in there. You know, Chris said it's going to be a handful of guys that are going to have to fill in and accept the fact that, yeah, I'm going to have to play here now. You know,
right,
they're going to move guys in from receiver to play the fullback role. And defensively, the guys, there's just a rotation on the ends. It's
okay,
just one guy out of the rotation. So the guys are going to have to play a little more and step up.
Yeah. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you flat out, do they make it 10 in a row against Hickman?
I think we get two handfuls. I think this is going to be a better Hickman team. And
okay,
I think, you know, the quarterback could be a handful. He's a great athlete, can throw it a little bit, likes to run it. Two-way threats, you just never know.
Right.
When they're going to break one off, I don't think that they'll be able to score enough to keep up with Helias. So I'm going to say Helias 42-6.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.